Good morning. Welcome to worship today. We are in a process of trying to kind of learn about our own different spiritual instincts, recognizing that we all find God in different ways. And we want to not do that universally in one way, but learn what fits for us individually. We launched that last week by looking at what instinct. Does anyone remember? I'm not sad if you don't, because I do. We talked about beauty. And how we sometimes find God out of places of beauty. If you're attentive enough as we make our way through here, almost every single one of these has a corresponding denomination that has kind of taken that arena and made that their game plan. So in the area of beauty, you can think of Roman Catholic churches or Greek Orthodox churches, which emphasize a lot of the tangible, beautiful kinds of things around you, right? Some of the most beautiful structures you'll ever see are ones that those denominations have built and established. Today we're going to look at emotion, right? It's probably not hard to think of different denominations that veer more toward an emotional expression of their faith, be it maybe Assemblies of God or anything that's charismatic or Pentecostal along those ways. We're going to examine in those areas too. What I want you to remember are the two goals that we have, right? First goal is I want you to be attentive to your own instinct. All these weeks we're spending, about 6 weeks on this, the biggest goal that I have is that you would know individually how God has made you to best find Him, right? So listen, is this mine? As you listen today to this emotional connection to God, your biggest question is this how I easily connect to Him? Second goal that we have then is to be able to say, hey, I recognize that all of these instincts are equally valid. And because one feels deeply in my heart, right, emotion, doesn't mean it's better than someone else's, right? So we want that universal understanding. As you think about the Bible, the most popular book in the Bible consistently is the book of Psalms. So this area of emotion, this instinct of emotion, is a very, very common one. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of us here that would resonate with that. Psalms is an emotional book. It is perhaps the most emotional section out of all of Scripture, right? There's theology in there too. Yes, there's a whole lot of other things in there. But one of the reasons we are drawn to that is that the emotion is raw, it is deep, it is profound, it is beautiful all the way through. So as we begin this morning, we're going to begin with a reading out of Psalms. We actually just have two Psalms today. So we'll start with that reading, Charles. You can launch us into that. I invite you to stand. As we listen to Psalm 126, whether you're just listening, whether you have the book open in front of you, what I want you to do is to listen for emotion. All right, don't listen for factual truth. Don't listen for theology. I want you to say, in this psalm, what emotion am I hearing spoken to me? Because when it's over, I'll invite you to share at least one emotion with someone around you. Thank you, Charles. Go ahead.
Psalm 126, a prayer for deliverance. When the Lord brought us back to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. How we laughed, how we sang for joy. Then the other nations said about us, the Lord did great things for them. Indeed, He did great things for us. How happy we were. Lord, make us prosperous again, just as the rain brings water back to dry riverbeds. Let those who wept as they planted their crops gather the harvest with joy. Those who wept as they went out carrying the seed will come back singing for joy as they bring in the harvest. This ends our first reading. You may be seated.
As you listen to that reading, or as you read along with it, I want you to find hopefully at least one word of joy that springs up for you, and then turn to someone around you, one word of emotion. I just gave you one, right? And turn to someone around you and say, here was an emotion that I heard in that psalm. So see if you can turn to someone around you and identify at least one emotion that was found in that psalm. Sometimes we do ourselves a disservice because we don't speak enough about emotion, and so we have a pretty limited emotional vocabulary, which is kind of happy, sad, or mad, and that's about it. But there's a wider range of emotions that we have as humans, up to hundreds of different ones identified, right? And so In there, you probably found things like joy. That jumps out probably, right? But we also have words like laughter, right? Confident, thankful, hopeful, inspired, safe, free. There's a ton of emotional language that's found in that passage. As we think about that, we often have not brought emotionality into our worship service in that arena because we are not a charismatic church, right? That's not our bent. We'll get to ours later on. But I want you to understand that all of these things are rooted in the nature of God, right? We have emotion, and God invites us to connect to Him with emotion, because where does emotion originate? Yeah, God. So in your worship folder, there's a list of different emotions and all of the Bible verses that go along with those. We're not going to run through all of those right now. We have a full service and enough other places to go. But it's perfect opportunity for you this week. If you're struggling with why are we talking so much about emotion, I would invite you to read through those, because God is a deeply emotional person. And if you read through Scripture honestly, you will interact with a God of emotion in all those categories, right? One who has anger, who has laughter, compassion, grief, love, hate, jealousy, joy. And it can go on than that. It's just a brief snapshot for you. But enough verses behind all those, and you can look and see how many are from the Psalms, right? To see that there is this God who brings emotion, right? And we are made in His image, and so we as human beings are emotional beings. And emotions have this incredible connecting point for us that goes beyond the brain. The brain is kind of at the most, not in a bad way, but the most superficial and obvious level that we have, right? What am I thinking at a given moment? Emotions are what drive us beyond that into the things of the heart that are connected to our soul and our spirit. And so it is an essential connecting point between what we think and what our spirit is saying to us. That's an important part for all of us to develop. Some of us will do much better at that, much richer at that, and others are going to do a little bit more struggling in that. I want to pull out at least four areas this morning, though, that I think this emotional connection to God reveals itself. The first is in this area of freedom. Unfortunately for us, religion is very often constituted as something that is about personal control. And religion is about the people who most control their own lives. And so if you are a religious person, you have a lot of control and clamping down and tightening on things. Emotion, though, cuts the other direction. Emotion is ultimately about a place of freedom. Emotions don't function well when they're tight and under control, right? They get shoved in a corner and eventually explode somewhere in some ugly kind of category. Emotions are best when they are called out in a place of freedom. But that's exactly what God told us, right? Jesus said, I'm giving you the truth so that it will set you free. Right? So imagine a space where religion didn't say you're not free to feel, but one where it said you are absolutely free to feel. And you're safe to feel anything you want to feel, be it positive or be it negative. Right? We'll run into Psalm 13 before long, and it's going to be a negative feeling psalm. And God says, you're free to feel that too. Right? Here's the beauty of a cross and a God who said definitively, I love you, period, which means you're free to be attentive to those emotions. You're free to express those things. You're free to let them out without any restriction or control on top of them. And there is this freedom that emotion brings to us, which is essential. There's also an authenticity about that. We mentioned that music is tied to both beauty, which we talked about last week. It's also tied to emotion. But there's a difference in that. If you like music because you appreciate beauty, then you usually prefer music that is incredibly excellent, right? The very best orchestra and choir doing Handel's Messiah, and you're like, that is heaven. The music is excellent. The performance is incredible. Everyone just nailing it. It brings me to the throne of God, right? If emotion is your connecting point, you might get there, but the reality is you're more hungry for authenticity than you are for excellence. And an artist who is sharing musically with you and is sharing something that's authentic, even if there's some mistakes in there, won't really matter as much, because the feeling part of the music is what you're hungry for. And in this emotional connection to God, there is a place that says, I need to be authentic. Freedom flows out of that, right? I can be myself, and now I'm able to say, this is where I really am, Right? Maybe I'm happy with you, God, today. Maybe I'm really angry with you, God, today. Maybe I'm this with you, but I can be truly who I am. I don't need to put a spiritual mask on and pretend everything's okay or everything is this or that or give all the right answers. I can truly say, I doubt this. I wrestle with this. I have no idea why you're doing that, right? The emotional calls that place out. So if you hunger in your own walk with God for a place of deep authenticity, then this might be a connecting point for you. Right, if you're always frustrated when it seems like people are putting the right face on and not being truly honest about where they are, then you probably are drawn more into this emotional place. If you're hungry for freedom, you're probably drawn more there too. If you like to use your body, as you come into worship, then you're probably drawn to that. This flows directly out of freedom too. Right? We often have this ingrained experience that says we need to look at people around us and not act out in ways that are different from that, right? That's our societal kind of agreeing to function well together. But emotion is what invites us and gives us a freedom to respond differently, right? To stand when no one else is standing, to kneel down when no one else is kneeling down, to clap even though no one else might be clapping, right? If you're clapping because everyone else in the room is clapping, then that's not emotional. That's just peer pressure that says I'm fitting in with what's going on around me. Not bad at all, but that's what it is, right? If you're able to say, I'm going to stand up and applaud and no one else is, then that's because you're being authentic to yourself and you're letting that flow into your body. Your body almost inevitably will be an expression of emotion. Whether that's weeping and racking and just shuddering in your body in deep grief, or whether that's incredible joy and raising of your hands or embracing someone else around you or even dancing, all of those things are reflective of this freedom that comes out of us. We have tried here to give that freedom to you, and I just want to announce it very publicly, that there is no shame or judgment whatsoever. We want you to be in a place where you can respond to God in any way that you physically need to. Right? We want you to have that freedom. You should know that the way that our brains are designed, there's only a couple species who are able to connect their bodily movements to a beat. And yet your brain, all of yours, whether you're a good dancer or not, doesn't matter. All of your brains have that capacity. And in fact, internal to them, there are neural oscillators inside your brain that when you hear music, even when your body's not moving, every time you hear music, there is a part of your brain that is keeping beat with it. That's how you're designed, right? So some of us are more called to give expression to that, some a little bit less. There's also, as we move into this place of worship, there's been this transition as we think back historically from a place of more hymns into a place of what is known as more contemporary music, although now it spreads generations of those kinds of things as well. One of the biggest critiques that was brought against the transition into contemporary worship was that they just repeat the same thing over and over again. We get it, move on. If you've ever expressed that, then the emotional is not your spiritual instinct for connecting to God. All right, you're going to be somewhere else, whether we picked it up with beauty or we'll pick it up in one of the others, that's okay. But when I come to my wife and I tell her that I love her and I delight in her, I'm not doing it because there's an absence of information. I'm not doing it because she just honestly didn't know. I'm doing it because I'm hoping to stir something emotional inside of her. And when we move into those places where there is a repetition, it's not an invitation to think. It's an invitation to feel. Here is this truth that I want to penetrate deeper than just my mind and into my heart so that I can be present with God in this. I can dwell in this emotional place, right? It's a different approach to God. So if you tend more toward the thinking through your faith, we'll pick that up in December, then all those repetition of things will be frustrating for you. If you are emotional, on the other hand, a lot of the hymns will be frustrating for you because they will move at such a pace with new ideas almost every phrase or every stanza that you're like, I can't even settle in on anything. It's always changing. Right? And so there's a contrast between those things. And neither one is right or wrong. They're just different instincts in approaching God. But our brains are designed through music to more powerfully connect to our emotions than they ever can through words. There is no gifted speaker who will ever be able to call out the emotions that even simple music will be able to do in you. Martin Luther himself, we talked about him a lot, but we'll bring it back in one more time at least, right? Said, next to theology, I give music the highest place of honor. I wonder if that was an instinct for him in that. They have done, though, neuroimaging of brains as they listen to music, and it triggers places of emotion inside our mind that speaking doesn't naturally do, right? That's what it does. The limbic system, the amygdala, even your dopamine, if you know enough about science, that's the fun stuff, right? When dopamine is flowing, then you're having a good time. And that's what music has the ability to call out in us. And I want you to understand that that is by design, right? So no bagging on the emotional side is lesser than something else. Somebody chose our brains to be designed that way so that they could connect to the emotional side. And through that, even more closely to God. So we're going to move into a little season of worship here. And as we do that, I want you to think about those things. I want you to not worry so much about the thinking side and whether this is your fit or not, to at least say, how do I live out these next worship songs in a place of emotional connection to God? What does it call out of me authentically? Am I led to do anything with my body that might be in response to that? And not worry about anyone else. Can I find where God is connecting to me individually in that? And we'll let God speak to us over this.
I love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
holy, holy, holy.
There's some moments in that worship where we didn't use the written words up there anymore, and there was just a free space, which is kind of quintessential emotional connection, where there's open opportunity for you to express whatever you want to God. There's no one leading you anymore. There's no word you have to follow. There's just a space for you to be authentic. If that resonates for you, then chances are this is that instinct that God has placed in your heart. And if that was frustrating, then don't worry. There'll be others that will fit you better. By God's grace, the offering song is going to match the sermon theme pretty well. It's a deeply poetic song that speaks a lot about this need to kind of surrender, trying to figure it out, and just be in a place of trust. So it calls us to that deeper emotional place. So when you're done with the rest of that, I invite you just to listen and to let it lead you emotionally to a connection to Jesus.
It is well.
May your mouths be filled up with laughter and your tongues with songs of joy. Amen.